Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We are in need of it every single day. That is why the Lord's compassions never cease and His mercies are new every morning, because that is how often we need them. And some days it feels like, especially on a Monday, I might need a little more mercy than that. And we are here to help you find hope and the truth of God's Word. My guest today is Michaela Van Dyke. She is the founder of Chasing Sacred. Now, this is a ministry that provides resources to help women study the Bible and grow closer to God, although they can be used by anybody. She's got a master's in practical theology from Regent University, where she fell deeply in love with the process of hermeneutics and wanted to share her knowledge and love of the Word with others. She co-leads Bible studies at her local church. She enjoys speaking and sharing God's Word at conferences and retreats. And she and her husband, Jamie, live in New Hampshire with their 5 kids. She is the author of a book called Chasing Sacred: Learn How to Study Scripture to Pursue God and Find Hope in Him. And that comes with a Bible study. There's an accompanying Bible study book that's a 5-week journey through Colossians and Philemon. Now, if you've been listening to this show, the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, since the beginning of the year, you know that back in January, we talked about adopting habits for healthy families and simple things, but important foundational building blocks that you need to do in order to really benefit your family. Now, week 1 was prayer, but week 2 was memorizing and studying the scripture. And that is so important. We just cannot navigate the chaos that is today without depending on the Lord through prayer and God's word that He has given us. And Michaela is going to tell us exactly how to do that today. So Michaela, we're so glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I would love for you just to tell us a little bit about your ministry background and what inspired you to equip people to study God's Word. You know, we hear of a lot of different ministries that people are called into, but this is pretty specific. And how did this happen?
Yeah, so I pretty much stumbled upon my calling. But basically, I was born overseas as a missionary kid in Thailand, and my parents are Bible translators. And I just grew up in the faith. I had a really strong Christian upbringing, was saved at a young age, and then kind of just over the years started taking dance classes and really wanting to move forward and dance in New York City. And so I moved, you know, I went to college. When I got married to my husband, I ended up not being able to dance anymore because I was newly pregnant and, you know, I was really mourning the loss of that. I was struggling with the idea that I wasn't going to be able to dance. And so I took to reading the Word. And so I was just reading the Bible every day at nap time and kind of started to post what I was learning, daily devotionals and different things like that. And then, of course, in God's way that He is, with His divine intervention, I ended up realizing that I stepped into my calling kind of not knowing that that's what I was going to be doing. And so as I was writing and posting online, I started to think, you know what, I don't know if I know, you know, everything that I really need to know to be serving all these women in the capacity that I was serving them. So I looked into going back to school and I started getting my theology degree as I was sharing and writing online. And I took a hermeneutics class. So it was in this class that I kind of approached it like, okay, this is about how to study the Bible. Like, I know how to do that. I grew up in the faith. You know, my parents are Bible translators. I kind of went into it thinking, I know everything I need to know. Well, was I wrong? And so what happened in that class was really this confrontation with the perspective that, oh, wow, I didn't know so much. I had so much to learn, and it kind of turned my world upside down. And so it was then and there that I took this class, and I realized, oh, my goodness, there's so many things about studying the Bible I didn't know, and I need to teach other people. I felt this passion in my bones. And so I started a ministry based around this specific method that I learned in Bible college, which was the inductive Bible study method. So I started teaching anyone I could. I taught at my local church. I started making resources and then kind of just blossomed into a ministry. And then when I was, you know, writing this book, I just felt like this is exactly what the Lord had called me to write on, was basically inductive Bible study.
Well, you know, one of the things I love about hearing so many stories from so many authors and teachers and other people in ministry who are called into ministry, I have yet to hear a story, Michaela, that goes, well, I grew up and I knew that God was going to call me into a ministry, you know, of inductive Bible study. And so I started to prepare for that. No, it always comes from a place of trial, a place of pain, a place of unexpectedness. And I love that because I think that one of the great things about that is that, you know, I think about speaking about scripture, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, right? And when we know that it is not in our own strength that we are doing something and we know it's not our own vision, it's so much more powerful because we know that we can trust God to work through it, through us. I can't imagine having to depend on myself thinking, okay, well, let me be smart enough and wise enough and brave enough, because we're just not, but God is there. So let's start with some basics, Michaela. Let's talk about the term hermeneutics. Now, some people, they know their stuff. They're listening and they're rattling off a definition. Other people are thinking, I've never heard that term before. So can you tell us what hermeneutics is? And what is inductive Bible study? Can you tell us what that looks like to study the Bible with that method?
Yes, for sure. So hermeneutics is just how we study the Bible, so how we interpret the Bible. So I basically took this class, and the method they taught was a specific method called the inductive Bible study method. Now, this is just allowing the text to lead us towards a conclusion. So it would be the opposite of deductive reasoning. It would be inductive reasoning. So basically, we're looking at the scriptures and we're saying, all right, what is the original intent of the author to the audience? What is God saying here? Instead of maybe coming with our preconceived notions or ideas of what the text is saying already. And one of the things I love about the inductive Bible study method is it uses a lot of questions. And so they call this the W and H questions. And so we ask, you know, who wrote this? When was it written? Why was it written? And it helps us then to apply it as the last step instead of, I think often me, I guess, you know, before I learned this method, I really would jump to application first. I'd be like, you know, how does the Bible speak to me right now, today, with what I'm feeling? And this inductive Bible study method helps us to have application as that last step. So that's a little bit of the definitions behind those two terms.
Well, when I opened your book and I read it, one of the paragraphs in the introduction really caught my eye, and I want to read it for our listeners. You said, if I had never read the Bible, I would have never dared pray the prayers I've prayed through the Word of God. My fear never would have dissipated. My heart never would have calmed at the words in this book. The Bible has taught me of God's mercy, which I never would have plumbed without His Word. It is through the pages of Scripture I have tasted His extravagant love, His willingness to chase me down. Through the Bible, my heart has been tuned to know God, and through the pages of Scripture, I hear a melody of His character. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. And then you go on to say, as my son reminded me recently, flamingos are pink because they eat shrimp and carrots can turn you orange. What we feast our hearts on will eventually come out of our mouths and work its way into our conduct. When we behold God's law and read His Word, our lives are forever changed and we grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I thought, Michaela, that was really compelling to share with your reader how God's Word has transformed you. So who did you write this book for? When you were writing this, why did you write it? And who were you writing for?
I love that question. And I think, you know, I just do want that passion to come across, because I often think, like, how could we not be in the Word every day? The richness that comes from the relationship we get with Christ through the pages of Scripture. And so I wrote this for really anyone and everyone. When I was writing this book, I really had the picture of a lot of my friends who, you know, grew up in the church, or even some of them that had never read the Bible. And I was like, you know what, I want to make it really clear and give them, you know, some really clear, concise ways to get into the Scripture and excite them about the Bible and excite them about the relationship, the who at the end of the pages of Scripture. And so I really wrote it for any woman looking to dive deeper into God's Word and looking to gain knowledge about the context, the historical, cultural, literary. And so I was really, really excited about, and also I think too, like growing up as a missionary kid where my parents were Bible translators, I often think about the people that don't have the Scriptures in their language. And so I think about, you know, the 1 billion people that don't have access to the Scriptures. And so I want to just excite so many of us here on all around the world to get into the Bible, because we get to do that every single day, read the Word.
Well, you're really honest in this book, because you talk about, and I want to read one other excerpt for our listeners. And again, it's just from the beginning of the book. And you said one quote that, again, just pulled my heart. The back and forth season of my family's misfortune had one stable anchor, the Bible. And you go on to talk about how, you know, you really had that growing up, that you could see that your parents pointed you towards God's word, no matter what chaos was unfolding in your lives. And you also said a deep respect for and dependence on God's word permeated our home. And I think, you know, that's you growing up, Michaela, a missionary kid in Thailand, and then coming back and, you know, trying to navigate the distance between those worlds and things that you have been through. But I think even now for today, there are so many people who have a very deep uncertainty. They have a fear of the future. There's apocalyptic language that comes at us from the news and from our social media. And what peace have you found in resting on the truth of God's word that is immutable and unchangeable?
Yeah, I love that question, because just thinking through what you said, like I talk a lot about in the book about just the misfortune that we experienced, whether it was the depression that I went through, or even as a new mom, I went through a season where I struggled with so much loneliness because, you know, I had wanted to have this career in dance, and then, you know, that all those doors closed. And then I was really struggling with feeling like culturally I did not belong. I had grown up overseas, and now I was in this American, you know, small town, New Hampshire. And so I was struggling with all these things. And the only thing I could do was had been taught over the years, like, open the Bible. And so throughout all of those seasons of discouragement and frustrations and loneliness and just all of these, you know, emotional battles that I was going through, it was always the consistent, steady voice of God that got me through those seasons and helped show me what to do next and how to apply his word to my life and that relationship that I got through the pages of Scripture. And so, like you said, like if we can base our lives on his authoritative word, we can have the confidence to move forward in all of those trials that come our way.
I believe that. And I see so many kids, especially, who don't see absolute truth. And they see, you know, speak your truth, live your truth. And it seems like truth changes every day. And the truth that's celebrated today is the truth that will get you canceled tomorrow. And I am just convinced down to my core that this is causing a lot of anxiety for kids, because they just don't know where the goalposts are going to be every day. And in this book, you say, in a culture full of chaos, stress, and confusion, amen, that is absolutely true, we can find firm grounding in the Bible when we truly take the time to understand and experience what it says. And you know, for me, Michaela, when I very first got the rank of tenured professor, they had a program where they allowed me to donate any book that I wanted that had been most influential in my career. And I donated a Life Application Bible because I said, as a nurse, I can think of no greater words of healing than those that came from the Bible. And it has just been such a source of comfort and stability and security for me. And I have so many more questions. When we come back, I want to ask you about your time in Thailand. And then I want to dive into some of the ways that we study. Why is it important to know about the people and places in the Bible that, frankly, we can't even pronounce sometimes, and you're hoping you're not asked to read out loud in church, right? We'll ask that more with Michaela when we come back. Don't go away. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250. Baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. You gave me a truth worth believing, and I traded my chains for your freedom. 'Cause you were the one that I needed. Oh, but God resurrected my heart from the Welcome back, friends. Those are my two favorite words in the history of ever. But God. But God has a plan for your life. No matter what you're facing today, no matter what trials are coming, no matter how anxious you feel, no matter how just hard life seems at the moment, God has a plan for your life. And we are talking about finding the wisdom and finding wisdom in the words of God. My guest today is Michaela Van Dyke. She is the author of Chasing Sacred: Learn How to Study Scripture to Pursue God and Find Hope in Him. And she has been sharing with us her method for studying the Bible. And this is a practical step-by-step method to understanding God's word. Now, maybe you are a person who has read a lot of the Bible, or maybe you haven't, and you think, I have never really intentionally studied it. Well, this might be a great resource for you to gain a fresh perspective on what it means to study the Bible for a new generation and to engage in a healthy habit of Bible study that encourages confidence and eliminates shame. And maybe it would even help you to feel equipped to lead a small group or a ministry in your community. So we're talking to Michaela Van Dyke. She is the founder of Chasing Sacred. And Michaela, you were sharing with us a little bit before the break about your childhood growing up as a missionary's kid in Thailand. Tell us a little bit about your experience and how that shaped your life and your dependence on God's word.
Yeah, so I absolutely loved growing up overseas. You know, at that time, I didn't know anything different. I was born in Thailand, and my parents were, as I said earlier, Bible translators. And so I really saw them poring over the pages of scripture every day. My mom used to tell me, I have the best job in the world. We both have the best job in the world. We get to be in the Bible all day long. And so I just really saw their joy and their love of it. But I actually went to an international school. So I had just all sorts of nationalities and ethnicities in my class. And that really shaped kind of how I saw the world. And so when I moved to the U.S., really struggled with kind of feeling like I belonged here just because you know, I had grown up eating all the Thai food and my best friend was Thai. And I just had all of these different perspectives on life and kind of this big worldview. So when I got to the States, I just struggled to really find out, you know, who I was and where I belonged. And so that really was kind of one of the impetus to me getting so much into the word and digging so deep, was that loneliness that I felt as I moved over to the States.
Well, and you know, that is what drives a lot of people to God's word. You know, you find yourself in a place that feels hopeless, where you feel helpless, and you're looking for help. But there are a lot of misconceptions that people have and reservations people have about studying the Bible. What do you see? Are we there, Michaela? While we're working on getting Michaela's connection restored, and thank you so much. This is the joy of live radio. Sometimes that happens, real life happens. But I think there are a lot of people that have some misconceptions or reservations about studying the Bible. And one of the things that I see happening a lot is people who misuse scripture, and they're well-intentioned, but you really don't have any idea of the context maybe that that was in, or the historical perspective or the background. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to know about that background information and the places and the people in the Bible who are important when studying God's word. And just so, I'm just going to check in and see, do we have you back yet? Not yet. Okay. All right. We're still working on it. My trusty team is right behind the scenes working on that. And so again, you can get this book. It's Chasing Sacred: Learn How to Study Scripture to Pursue God and Find Hope in Him. And it comes with a Bible study of the books of Colossians and Philemon. And so you may think, I don't know if I have studied that. So while we're waiting to get Michaela back, hang on just a second and let me divert and make sure that you know that Culture Warrior is out today for the Great Commission partners. And so if you want to go to culturewarriormovie.com, you can go there and get the movie, the origin story of Don Wildman. We featured the filmmaker last week, MD Perkins. If you missed that show, you can go and catch that. And it looks like we have caught back up with Michaela. So here you are back. So Michaela, what I was asking you is, you know, there are a lot of people that have misconceptions and reservations about studying the Bible. What are the most common questions or fears or misconceptions that you see?
Yeah, I think when we approach the Bible, there's a lot of different things that we can approach it with. But I think one of the ways that we often approach it is just going straight to the question, how does this apply to me? And so often, you know, that's what we in the inductive Bible study method want to be the last step, because what we want to do is really think about what is the history, what is the cultural context, what are the different ways that we can approach it. And so I talk a lot in my book also about approaching it without the lens of understanding genre. And so learning genre, so, you know, the Bible is still a book and there's multiple genres in the Bible. And so when we think about it, there's letters, there's the Gospels, there's, you know, apocalyptic, like you mentioned earlier. So there's all these different genres. And a lot of times, sometimes we approach the Bible with the idea that instead of thinking through the lens of genre, we just kind of try to apply it directly to our lives and forget that there's just all these different ways of interpreting it.
Well, it can be really intimidating when someone is starting, but to start out to study the Bible, you actually need to have a Bible. You need to buy a Bible or have a Bible that you're studying, and translation can be really hard to choose when you're trying to pick which one you should choose. And, you know, I remember really vividly when I was in a life group once, Michaela, I had my Bible that I'd had since I was 16 years old. It's the same Bible that I've had. And there was a seminary professor who was in my group, and he came in, sat down, looked at my Bible and kind of picked it up and peeked inside the cover and wanted to know what version it was. And I had no idea. I made the mistake, Michaela, of asking him, oh, why is that important? And, you know, probably when you're getting that answer, it was a little hard to understand from a seminary professor. I was a little intimidated, but I did learn that translation was important. So what tips could you offer to someone who's thinking, you know, I have really wanted to try studying the Bible, but I need to get a Bible. What translation should they read?
Yes, I love this question. So I always say it's about comparing translations. So if you can, try to compare multiple translations. Now, the reason for this is that everyone, you know, different translators have different translation philosophies. So there's word for word, there's thought for thought. I'm sure you've heard of the, you know, spectrum of different ways. But I think comparing is the best way because then you can get a wide, varied approach to the biblical passage you're studying. And then if you're not going to compare, try to stay in the middle of thought for thought and word for word is what I would say.
Okay. All right. So we have a Bible, and so we're doing that. But you also talk about how we shouldn't ignore the Spirit's work in Bible study. What does that mean? And what happens if we do ignore it?
Yeah, I always talk about how when we're studying Scripture, we want to start by praying and asking for the Spirit to help us interpret the text. Because really, it's the Spirit that's going to speak to us through the pages of Scripture and through a specific passage. And I know you guys in the audience have, if you've been reading your Bibles, you've all felt that kind of prompting where the Spirit almost illuminates a passage for you. And then you understand that it's, okay, time to apply this to your life. And so that's why we always want to just really be cognizant and quiet and really pray that the Spirit will just show us in the text what He wants to reveal to us that day.
It is amazing because you can read a passage so many times and then you read it again and something, you know, comes out to you in a new way. I remember a sermon where the pastor who was preaching was sharing about this, talking about how he was reading the account of Peter denying Jesus, of course, at the crucifixion. And then he was reading the account of Peter restoring Jesus. And something that stood out to him that he hadn't noticed before was the fact that a fire was specifically mentioned in both of those instances. And so the he had gone to do, you know, a little deep dive in that and looking at it and seeing that even God caring about our senses and thinking that, you know, Peter would have heard the fire, how it sounded, it would have smelled in a specific way as wood burning. And then having that, you know, sensory experience when he denied Jesus, but also that sensory experience when he restored him. So I'm thinking, and of course, for me as a nurse, I'm thinking like trauma triggers and everything and thinking like God just thinks down to those details. And it doesn't matter how many times we read a passage, we can always find something new and learn something new. And so how do you talked about talking about knowing the background information, the places and the people. Why is that important when we're looking to understand God's word?
Yeah, so I talk a lot about, you know, I give a really clear step-by-step of the inductive Bible study process. But one of the things about studying using the inductive method is that you start with observation. So what you're doing is you're kind of just putting your detective spectacles on and you're looking at the text and saying, okay, what is actually being said here? Because a lot of us, you know, me included, will approach the text with our own life experiences, our own thoughts. Maybe we'll think, okay, you know, God is like me. You know, sometimes we make God in our own image. And so we'll come to the text kind of thinking, well, you know, I have my own lens of looking at this. But gathering background information is so key because it helps us to root the text in its context. And so I think it's Greg Kokel that says, never read a Bible verse. And what he means by that is not never to read a Bible verse. I'm not a Bible teacher telling you never to read a Bible verse. But what he means by that is always, you know, read the context. And so by doing that, we can gather background information to begin. And so we can say, okay, so, you know, who wrote this book? And then who was it written to? Where was it written? And then you can also think, okay, what is the genre of this book that I'm studying? And so you start to gather some of those key components and then ask, you know, what was the original intent of the author to the audience in writing this book? And then after you gather all that in the observation stage and then mark up your text and say, okay, what are some of the key words? You know, you're looking for what is already there. Then you can start to interpret it, thinking through the historical and cultural lens. And then that last step, you can apply it because the Bible is meant to be applied. Our lives are meant to change from reading the pages of Scripture. And so then you can say, okay, so what does this tell me about God's character? Or, you know, what does this tell me? And what is God prompting me to change in my own life through these passages? And so that's kind of a little overview and why gathering background information is just so important.
And the way that you put it in your book was you said that Martin Luther reportedly said this quote, "I study my Bible like I gather apples. First, I shake the whole tree that the ripest may fall. Then I shake each limb. And when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf. I search the Bible as a whole, like shaking the whole tree. Then I shake every limb, study book after book. Then I shake every branch, giving attention to the chapters. Then I shake every twig, or a careful study of the paragraphs and sentences and words and their meanings." And there is just so much wisdom to be had there. So, Michaela, what makes your book, Chasing Sacred, what makes it stand out from other books? Because we go to the, you know, the Christian bookstore, you may look online and you see all of these titles. What is unique about your approach in Chasing Sacred?
I think one of the things that I set out to do when writing Chasing Sacred was I really wanted it to be very full of stories and interesting and have my own kind of life experiences woven into some of these larger concepts. And so I think it makes it really unique because I really treat the reader as very intelligent, like my readers are. And so I give them really big content. I try to make it interesting by including a lot of stories and analogies and kind of fun tidbits about my life. And so I really, my hope in writing Chasing Sacred was that people would kind of go away from that overwhelm or feeling like, you know, the Bible is too complicated for them. I really wanted them to feel empowered and confident and excited and passionate about studying God's word. And I hoped that this book would bring them more into the pages of scripture and feel like they could then go out and lead a Bible study or lead their small group or teach another person about how to study the Bible using the historical and cultural context.
Well, and the good news is we are actually going to give away both a copy of your book and of the Bible study, this 5-week journey through Colossians and Philemon. And we're going to give that to the first caller at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're going to give you a copy of Chasing Sacred, Learn How to Study Scripture to Pursue God and Find Hope in Him, along with the Chasing Sacred Bible Study, a 5-week journey through Colossians and Philemon. Once again, that number is 888-589-8840. So again, if you want to learn how to, and you want to learn from Michaela, who is breaking down misconceptions and reservations that so many of us have about what it means to study the Bible, this is the resource for you. She uses her story with the inductive Bible study method to teach you a systematic, empowering approach. So when we come back, Michaela, I have a question I really want to ask you. I said at the top that you are a mom of 5 kids. So we want all the secrets, all the tips on how do you do this when you are a busy mom. So don't go away. We'll be right back with more from Michaela Van Dyke.
Here's Dr. Ligon Duncan from the American Family Studios documentary, The God Who Speaks.
I think the most striking thing to me about the Bible is that it not only reveals God to me, it is God speaking to us, revealing Himself to us. But in the process of teaching us about Himself, He reveals so much about who we are. I often tell people that one of the ways that I know that the Bible is true is the way that it diagnoses my sin. I'm often reading through a passage and I'm thinking, this was written 3,000 years ago, and yet it perfectly diagnoses the state of the sin of my heart. The only way that can happen is if my Creator is actually the author of the book.
Visit thegodwhospeaks.org.
Who can bend my burdens and make them beautiful? Who can bring the healing to the hurt I hold? Who else could part the waters when I'm leading away? Though I'm walking through the valley, I believe when you say, I believe when you say, for the good.
Welcome back, friends. That song is For the Good by Riley Clemons. And God does work all things together for our good, for the good, for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he created us to study his word. And that's what we're talking about today with Michaela Van Dyke. She is the author of Chasing Sacred, Learning How to Study Scripture. Now, this is so important for so many of us because, you know, here I am talking about scripture. I'm a nurse, okay? I did not learn hermeneutics in any nursing class. I can tell you that for sure. But this is a great resource to really learn a practical step-by-step method to understanding God's word. And it's so important to do that, whether you are using God's word to lead and guide your own life, if you are teaching your children, or if you are in your profession, or wherever you are, God's word is living and powerful. And we're just so grateful, Michaela, that you are sharing your journey with us, and we are being able to benefit from the fruits of your labor. But the question that I have is, how in the world do you do this with five kids? Because I think that people are picturing, you know, some Instagrammable space with maybe candles and, you know, music playing in the background, and you're just meditating peacefully to God's word. But I'm a mom too, and I just somehow think that's not really how it goes. Can you just be real with us?
Yes. Let's just say with reheated coffee, I have had, you know, to be very even gracious with myself in studying God's word, because that would be awesome if I could have, you know, this picture perfect time of study. But often it's me waking up as early as I can, and often with a baby on my lap. That would be the majority of the seasons that I walked through, is I always had a baby on my lap. I had a couple pens, and it was very interrupted, because my kids would wake up early, or I'd have to restart later in the day, or I'd reheat coffee at nap time and read the Bible. And so it is such a grace-based, I want to be grace-based in saying that any time in God's word is time well spent. And that's what I just tell myself, whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's reading, you know, leaving my Bible open while I do the dishes. And I can just relate to that, being a mom of five, that it just sometimes feels impossible to get in the word because we're so busy. But I always feel that I'm better for it after I've read.
It's so true. And it can be really hard for busy parents to find time to read God's word. And it's hard to do that. But honestly, Michaela, it's hard to live life not doing that. So you're really just choosing what's difficult. I mean, you can choose to find that time, and that may be difficult, or you can choose to go without it, and that is even more difficult. And I think one of the encouraging things that I have learned is that it's about consistency, not perfection. It's not about, you know, having that perfect uninterrupted hour where you're just having sweet fellowship with God. And sometimes that does happen, but it's about the practical. And when I'm looking through your book and the tools that you give, you know, some of the questions that you walk your readers through are, why did the author include this in the text? Why was it written? Why did the author say it in this way? Why did the original audience need to hear this? How is this going to happen? And I will say that I have a pastor right now who has traveled a lot to biblical places, and having that cultural context has really opened my eyes to scripture in a very new way that I haven't experienced before. And the way that he says it is that we're using our Western eyes to view events that happened in Eastern culture. And some of the things that we just don't understand in a Western culture, like the reader of this at the time would have very well understood the cultural context. For example, he was talking yesterday about Jesus calling the disciples and about just the way that Jewish school was and how they would go to two different schools, and then you either follow a rabbi or you go back to your father's trade. And if they were back at their father's trade, it means they either didn't try to follow the rabbi or they didn't pass the test. And just all of those things, I'm thinking, okay, I never would have understood that. And what has your experience been like that? I mean, especially living in Thailand, you kind of have that global perspective. Why is the context so important when we're applying the truth of scripture?
I think you bring up such a good point. So there's the cultural context that I talk about in my book, the literary context, and then the historical context. And so we're looking at a lot of different layers of context here. And as far as what you're mentioning with the cultural context, I think it really is so different when we're able to put on, you know, those Near Eastern glasses or think about it, what it would be like to be Jewish, any of these things when we're reading the scriptures. And we get this new perspective, and all of a sudden the text kind of lights up for us, and we get kind of this new perspective or gain deeper understanding of the text. And that's kind of what I want to encourage my readers to really do as they're reading the scriptures, is consult commentaries and look at, you know, what it would be like to read this from that lens. And so you bring up such a good point there.
Well, and you have shared, you know, Michaela, that, you know, you were chasing after a dream to dance in New York City. And I think especially in today's world, we always feel like, I say we're living at the speed of a smartphone, and it just feels like life is so fast and we have so much pressure to chase after something, you know, whether that be, you know, success that's in the world's eyes, or sometimes it's good things that we're chasing after. And you shared with me a revelation that you had as you were chasing God through the scripture. And I would love for you to share that with our listeners.
Yeah, so chasing sacred kind of came about because I was chasing everything else, just thinking, okay, this is going to fulfill me. And then I started chasing God through the pages of scripture. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to chase him wholeheartedly. But as I chased him, you know, in quotes, through the pages of scripture, I realized all along he had been chasing me. You know, it's the greatest love story ever told, where God comes and he chases humanity, right? He sends his one and only son to die on the cross for us. And so even when we think about, you know, Psalm 23:6, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I think of that word follow, and that word follow actually means to chase. So God's love is chasing you down through the pages of scripture and through this amazing story, right? The one in the pages of the Bible. And so I think for so long I thought, oh, I'm pursuing God, I'm chasing God. And then I realized, oh no, it's his relentless pursuit of me.
Isn't that so humbling? You know, you think like, oh, I've got it, but it never ceases to amaze me the ways that God loves us, that he shares that with us in scripture, and seeing it in a different way is really interesting. Now, I want to ask you a question, Michaela, about the cover of your book, because I'm sitting here, I have both of the books literally in my hand right now. And if you look at it, you have these typed words of scripture, but there are all kinds of markings all over it. You've got little purple triangles. I see little orange crosses. I see yellow underlines. I see blue circles. I see green circles that are connected. What? And it looks like really fun, honestly. So tell us about where that came from. Is this your actual notes on the cover?
Yes. So basically it came from just how I teach how to mark up the text, through just years of doing it myself, but then also teaching classes and then teaching about it in the book. And so I basically teach the reader to mark up their Bibles in that way, so they can mark up the repeated words, they can mark up, you know, any reference to God, any reference to the author, any reference to the audience, any reference to contrasts or comparisons, just so that they can actually see what's in the text. It helps me. And so that is why the cover looks like that.
Well, I love it. And I know we have some listeners who are thinking, I do not write in my Bible kind of person. Like, that is not going to happen. That is not me, honestly, Michaela. I always write in my Bible. And, you know, I really have thought a lot about this over the last year. My grandmother, who I was very close to, she passed away last year. And one of the biggest treasures that we got was her Bible. And she had many markings that were just, that looked a lot like this on the cover. And different dates where she had participated in different Bible studies, different truths that God had revealed to her, different messages that she felt like she had understood, or different prayers that she had for us. And so I was talking to my husband about this, and it bothered me because I looked around in church and I saw everybody on their phone. Now, for me, I'm thinking always about kids and their visual perception. And I'm thinking, okay, if kids look around church and they just see everybody on their phone, how is that different than sitting waiting to get your oil changed, or, you know, just sitting waiting for your food to be called if you order food or something? It's just that visual. But there is something about having those paper pages there where you're marking and you're writing, and it gives to me a different visual cue and gives such a treasure for our kids. So I want to know, Michaela, how many Bibles do you have marked up? What kind of treasure trove are you going to leave for your kids from all of the labor that you've done through this?
I actually was thinking about this question the other day. First of all, it sounds like your grandma left you the most amazing legacy. So I love hearing that. And so I'm so sad to hear of her passing. But I was thinking about that the other day because I'm like, I have so many marked up Bibles. I actually don't know. I need to go and count. But I was thinking I could probably leave, one to each of my five kids and they would get different crazy notes from my life.
I love it.
But I do, I do love using a physical Bible. I don't know. It's just always been what I've used. I've never been able to switch over to a phone, maybe because I don't feel like I can gain the context. I can't scroll enough to gain the context, I feel like. But my husband also uses a physical Bible, and I just love that visual of our kids coming down every single morning, and they always see both of us in the Word. And I just think that's just such a gift to them, and the gift that I was given from my parents and the gift your grandmother gave you of just really being in those pages of Scripture. And there's no confusion there because it's not, mom's on her phone. They really do know I am in the pages of Scripture. And so I do love what you said about just looking around and seeing people with their physical Bibles. There's something about that.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not knocking those electronic tools because those can be really helpful. But I just do wonder, as our world changes so fast and the culture changes so fast, I think about kids who have that visual imprint of us. And you talked about it in your book, Michaela, seeing your parents with their Bibles open and knowing that that's what they were doing. And you don't have to say like, no, I'm not watching, recipe reels or whatever it is that you're doing on your phone. Well, how are you carrying that down, Michaela? And, you had that legacy of faith from your parents. And in what practical ways are you involving your children in this journey?
Yeah, so I talk a little bit about this in my book, but when I was pregnant, I share about this in my book, but I felt like the Lord gave me a life verse for each of my kids. And so I prayed and prayed, and I just felt led to a specific verse for each of them. And so they each actually have their own life verse, and we have it over their beds, in different places in their room. I got them printed, and we say those verses before they go to bed every single night. And the other day, my son, my 9-year-old, was like, hey, mom, I want to just like figure out how to find, he's like, I'm going to just try to find that verse by myself. Don't try to help me. I'm going to do it myself. And so he was, thumbing through his Bible, trying to find the life verse. And it just felt so much of his identity he's found in that life verse. And so that's one of the ways that practically we have helped, really root our children in the Word.
That's really amazing. I'm sure there are probably a lot of listeners who are thinking, I never thought about that, having a specific life verse. And I'll tell you, my kids have one, and really I'm half proud, half embarrassed to say I didn't give it to them, but they found it on their own. It's the verse that they have claimed as their own, that this is the verse that God has spoken over my life. And it is so beautiful. I mean, I just think about the verse, Michaela, that I have no greater joy than knowing my children are walking in the truth. And if you want to help your children walk in the truth, you can get your own copy of Chasing Sacred by Michaela Van Dyke. Michaela, where can they find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. Michaela Van Dyke is one of my tags. Chasing Sacred is my other, or my website, which is www.chasingsacred.com. And then my books are sold basically anywhere you can get books, both of the Chasing Sacred books, the book and the Bible study.
Well, thank you so much for your journey and for sharing everything with us. And we congratulate Vicki out in Georgia. She is one of our listeners. Hey, Vicki, thanks so much for listening and for calling in. You will be getting a copy of Chasing Sacred, the book, and the accompanying Bible study. And we're just so grateful, again, in a culture full of chaos, stress, and confusion, we can find firm grounding in the Bible when we truly take the time to understand and experience what it says. And as you chase the sacred narrative woven through the pages of Scripture, Michaela will guide you to a deeper understanding of God's Word and the who at the end of the journey, who is a Savior full of wisdom, depth, truth, and love for you. Listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace in this week. And we will see you right back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.